99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the sunny side. My name is Joyce, and it's a beautiful Wednesday. We note this one to be worthy of note. How are you? I really hope that you're doing good. And it's not many times, I mean, we don't have the luxury of having days as this, where it appears as though the stars align. So first, we're going to be speaking with a gentleman all the way from Netherlands. He is the director of a particular organization, an organization bold enough to take Shell to court. 5 days ago, a Dutch court was able to grant a Nigerians, whose case was brought before them, a victory over Shell, requiring that Shell make some payment to the farmers. And if you're Nigerian long enough, you pretty much are aware of what we would call the situation in the Niger Delta. So that's going to happen in no time from now. And after that, a young Nigerian lady had her video surface on the internet. She was physically assaulted by men in uniform. I watched it with just, I mean, I think I wasn't sure what to expect of it. It's one of many cases of assault on civilians by men of the force. But today is that day where there is a good feedback on that particular story. Her counsel for her tweeted yesterday that that case was taken to court, and the court awarded the lady 5 million naira to be paid to her. Look, it's such a beautiful day to hear the victories. And yeah, there are probably pockets of good tales, but it's happening nonetheless. And I really think, as much as we talk about the gloomy ones, the ones that bring us sadness and heartbreaks, let's talk about the good tales of what's happening with Nigeria, and maybe also give our friends an opportunity to join us in this celebratory mood that we found ourselves. In no time, we'll be bringing to you Donald Pols from Netherlands. He's a director of Friends of the Earth. And he's also a Nigerian friend. And yes, the ones who actually did take Shell to court. So hold on a second. Let me share with you. Am I? Okay, you know what? No hurry. Off on a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I'll be sharing with you the way the news reports it, bringing to you that particular feedback as to, I mean, Donald is going to be giving us pretty much details as to the journey. But I want to share with you what made my eyes just light up when I heard that Nigeria has won something, little, but something. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Talk.
I was really excited when this made the headlines. Welcome, welcome. And I was really excited when I read it in the news. When I heard it, I thought it was something that Nigerians needed to know was happening. Today we have the privilege of the person, the director of Friends of the Earth on the sunny side. We're 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let me tell you with excitement pretty much what the news reports. On the 29th of January 2021, in a victory for environmentalists and Nigerians whose land was polluted by oil leaks, a Dutch appeal court ordered energy giants Shell Nigerian subsidiary on Friday to compensate farmers in 2 villages in Nigeria's Niger Delta for damages to their land caused by leaks in 2004 and 2005. The Court of Appeal in The Hague on Friday ruled that the Nigerian arm of the British Dutch company must issue payouts over a long-running civil case involving 4 Nigerian farmers who were seeking compensation and a cleanup from the company over pollution caused by leaking oil pipelines. The Hague Court of Appeal held Shell's Nigerian subsidiary liable for 2 leaks that spewed oil over an area of a total of about 60 football pitches. Wow. In 2 villages, saying that it could not be established beyond a reasonable doubt that saboteurs were to blame. Under the Nigerian law, by the way, which was applied in the Dutch civil case, the company is not liable for the leaks if it was as a result of sabotage. Now, Friends of the Earth Netherlands director Donald Pols hailed the ruling as a victory for small communities hurt by huge companies. And it is indeed more than a pleasure to talk about not just the Nigerian victory, but to have Donald Pols himself speak on the journey towards the victory. And we're trying to establish connections with him. If you're on Twitter, well, you want to quickly also get on YouTube, because we are live streaming this particular interview. And it's such a situation, and this is something I want to give you. I want to give you an insight into this. The Niger Delta, what it is, what it could have been, this, let's say the virgin picture is what I'm trying to paint here. A well-endowed ecosystem contains one of the highest concentrations of biodiversity on the planet. It supports abundant flora and fauna, an arable terrain that can sustain a wide variety of crops, lumber, or agricultural trees, and more species of freshwater fish than any ecosystem in West Africa. The Niger Delta region, due to unprecedented oil spillage, which has been ongoing for the past 5 decades, making the region one of the most polluted in the world. And just to give you a vague idea, it's estimated that while European Union experiences 10 incidences of oil spillage in 40 years, Nigeria recorded 9,343 cases within 10 years. It is terribly unquantifiable, the damage happening there. And we're more than grateful to have friends stand with us, and also a privilege to have Donald Pols here with us on Nigeria Info. It's afternoon this side of heaven. Good afternoon to you, Donald Pols. Welcome to Nigeria Info.
Good evening, and thank you for the invitation.
It's such a pleasure having you here. And also, I think just before anything happens, I want to say thank you very much for being not just the voice of the voiceless, but putting out a face there and putting up a fight for Nigerians, particularly Nigerians in the Niger Delta. Thank you very much again. And I want to ask, how did this journey begin?
Yes, we have, as Friends of the Earth in the Netherlands, we have been collaborating with the Office of Friends of the Earth in Nigeria for some decades, working on the impact of Dutch multinationals, especially Shell, in Nigeria. And we concluded some 13 years ago that the work in Nigeria did not result in the necessary protection of local communities, and that we had to address the problem at its source, really, because it all begins with the decisions that the Shell Global Company makes in The Hague and are then implemented in Nigeria. And we decided, together with our local office in Nigeria, to then take Shell to court.
This is a case that practically spanned 13 years. So before we talk about that time span, the meaning of this ruling, you know, for due diligence and effect it has on multinational corporations, you know, around the world, working abroad particularly, what does this mean for us?
Yeah, it is phenomenal. You could say that up until Friday the 29th, just before the court announced its verdict, people in developing countries, and in this case in Nigeria, were totally without any rights in confrontation, in relation to Shell, and in other countries to other multinationals. And the decision has given them equal rights to what all citizens in the world should have. In any case, equal rights in comparison with the Netherlands.
Does this, I mean, when you say we have no rights, does this speak specifically to the fact that we're a developing nation, or that we're not represented by the government of Nigeria thoroughly before multinational companies?
Especially the situation in relation to your government. Shell has such I'd say it's not, I wouldn't really want to put the the Nigerian government into a spot. It is the fact that Shell is an enormously influential company. It is because of its economic power and the dependence of the Nigerian government on the revenue created by taxes. It functions practically as a state within a state, and that limits the reach of the Nigerian government to ensure and protect the interests of the Nigerian citizens in confrontation or in relation to Shell.
So it took 13 years, and we hear within that period, two people died. And then we heard two died in the meantime, and it took, and their families took over, you know, this particular case waiting. I don't know what this means for the family and specifically for that region. What would you say in that regard?
Yeah, to start off with, if you allow me, I would like to say this is an illustration of global solidarity, of solidarity between Dutch people that take responsibility for the actions of their global multinational,
yeah,
and with the people in Nigeria that are the victims of Shell. What happened very specifically in relation to the four farmers, two indeed died, and their families, their oldest son, took over the court case, and they will also be the recipients of the financial compensation.
Well, so it would appear that this, I mean, it's not certainly an isolated case, but this is not necessarily covering, this particular victory doesn't quite cover all of the situation in Niger Delta. I think this just affects two villages. Now, for other areas in the Delta that have been affected by oil spillage, what are their chances towards a fight? Do they have a fight? We know Friends of the Earth is doing what they can. They can only do so much. Do they have a claim to something here?
The precise implications, legal implications of this verdict still needs to be studied and are studied at this moment by Dutch legal experts, both lawyers and academics. But what you can say is that it has at least three impacts. The first impact is on the four farmers that will get financial compensation. And I have to say, one of the four, there's still some discussion about what their compensation is. The second is because Friends of the Earth Netherlands represents or decided to represent common interest, not only the farmers, but also public interest in general. Mm-hmm. The financial compensation will also cover communities involved, which is very important. So yeah, it makes it broader than only the three or four farmers. And the third impact is that multinationals, especially Shell, will now recognize that that there's a substantial chance that they will lose any court case in future, and that will make that will ensure that they are more open for an out-of-court settlement concerning damages caused by leaking oil pipelines.
Okay, so I'm curious because I wondered to myself what could the reason be as to why Shell would allow such levels of neglect happen over a long period of time, particularly cases that they were actually and specifically guilty of. I remember reading an article, and it was reported that Shell did say to their defense that they had monitors to identify leakages, which was eventually set to be false to some degree. What is the reason Shell gives as to why this happened for so long and then ended up being neglected until, say, people like you came into the picture?
Yeah. What you see, what happens is what, and we do a lot of global work, not only in Nigeria, but in relation to multinationals acting in developing countries all over the world. And what you see is what multinationals do is they externalize costs, so they shift costs onto the environment and communities by not taking the necessary safety measures. And this is what happened here also. Shell decided to not invest because of a cost perspective. It will cost them too much money to ensure that oil pipelines are safe. And through doing that, they shifted the cost of leakages onto the local communities.
And so it would take, say, a group or an organization of conscience to put up a fight, because trying to estimate the physical damage, the human cost to the environment, compared to what Shell might lose, you know, in terms of putting the right resource in place to prevent things like that from happening. I mean, which is cheaper?
Yeah, it is, of course. It is perverse if you think of it. The human impact in the Niger Delta, and specifically the regions where this court case is about, is enormous. At least 16,000 babies die annually before their first year because of oil pollution. The life expectancy in the Niger Delta is 10 years less than in the rest of Nigeria. And this all is directly related to the oil pollution. It is, like I say, it's perverse that shareholders of a multinational company that earns billions per year can make the decision to shift the cost onto the poorest of the poorest, really.
Wow. So here is a very solid consideration. When you started this, you made reference, or you made mention to the fact that, you know, it would have been impossible for the local farmers to actually target the mother companies. And then we have an NGO like yours, Friends of the Earth, come into the picture to not just front, but also stand as defense and spokesperson for, you know, the victims in the situation. It still took 13 years. That is a ridiculously long time. I mean, why?
Yeah, it is true. It would have been impossible for the families involved, the farmers involved, to do this. Even in the Netherlands, it would be impossible for individuals to do something like this. So it took an NGO that was prepared to invest this time. And to give you an impression, only our legal costs, the cost of our legal defense team or our legal team, was more than 1 million euro, which we will not get back. That is our investment. And you can imagine a local farmer, either in Nigeria or the Netherlands, could not fund a project like this. And that is also why we say this: the outcome of this court case should be a lesson to European countries to develop a legal framework, due diligence laws, that will ensure that cases like this does not exist anymore. Yeah. That we solve the problem at the beginning of a project, at the source, and not at the impact at the end.
Now, the UN suggests that it would take about 30 years to reverse the damage. And I'm thinking within 13 years, two of the farmers died. And when you try to make sense of this, I want to ask you the question. One, of course, the fighting chance of the common farmer. Two, what can be done so that people at least prevent this from happening? Or how can farmers rise up and then fight? I don't even know if that's the best way to put the question, because even with Friends of the Earth, it took 13 years.
Indeed. But now... I would say a legal precedent has been created.
Okay.
So what cost us 13 years of investment in legal procedures, this will in all probability not be the case in future. So I can imagine that many farmers and communities in the Niger Delta that have been victims of oil pollution would now be interested in addressing Shell to ensure that they get compensation for what has been done. And it will not take 13 years anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a beautiful one to hear. I'm happy to hear that. So now when you speak about the legal precedents, how do they go about it? I just really want to understand the process for them, because I'm very sure quite a number of people listening to radio right now would like to know. So who are they supposed to call? Are they supposed to contact Friends of the Earth and you know, that, and then making donations? I think the public might want to know about that process as well.
Yeah. To be honest, as the verdict was announced on Friday, and it's Wednesday today, so we really only had 3 days, or not even, to study the verdict in its essence, and also for legal experts to study it. So we're not totally sure about the full impact will be.
Okay.
But once it's so, of course, you can always, I will never ask people from a developing country to do no donations to an organization in Europe. But the fact is, of course, it costs money. So that is one thing that if people in Nigeria that are financially secure and have the resources would like to support their compatriots, this would be something that they could consider, is start a fund to do similar court cases in the Netherlands. So that's one thing.
Okay.
And the other is to organize yourself. You can take up contact with the branch of Friends of the Earth in Nigeria. It's called the Environmental Rights Action, ERA. And let's see what let's then have a discussion how we can proceed after we have a full understanding of the verdict.
Okay. Sounds good. I want to find out what drives you, because this is a fight that takes much of not just your money, but your emotions, your time. It would appear that this is your commitment. This may be something we can call your life's mission, to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. Yeah. What compels you? What drives you?
Yeah. For me personally, maybe you can hear it from my accent. I'm a South African from origin, and I grew up during the apartheid era. Of course, I was too young to be responsible for the politics of South Africa.
Yeah.
But I have privileged from the political system, being white. So it's something that you live with when you grow up in an unequal unequal society. Being busy and understanding with justice is something that is important. But for our organization, we are convinced as Friends of the Earth that the big global problems of our time, climate change, biodiversity decline, inequality, can only be addressed if we also involve multinationals. At this specific stage in time, multinationals are excluded from the Paris Climate Accord, for example. They do not take responsibility for a problem in which they are a major contributor. So that is something we want to change through this work.
Okay. Now, how can government policies help? Because I feel like government policies play a great role. By giving your years of, you know, doing this, the years you've spent doing this, I think that you pretty much might have come across situations where government policies would have played a fundamental role.
Yes. What this illustrates is the need for government policy. If there was government policy that would ensure that a multinational like Shell should take into account basic human rights and environmental norms in the country where they are active, in Nigeria, then it would have never come this far. It is because there are no government policy in the Netherlands, in Europe, ensuring that multinationals act in accordance to basic norms. It's because of the lack thereof that multinationals can really act with impunity in developing countries, because the victims of their actions are too poor to respond, and the governments are so dependent on these big multinationals that they are really limited in the possibility to address the negative impacts of multinationals. So it has to be addressed in the countries where multinationals are based.
Mm, okay. You know, I was on your website and I was going through, you know, your vision and what drives the mission. And I went through your victories. I even, you know, stumbled on your 2015 victory, another victory for Nigeria, thanks to, you know, Friends of the Earth. And I found something very catchy. And I want to read it to you because I want to understand, you know, how you want to go about this vision. Your website reads, and I quote, "Imagine a less wasteful world, a world in which we share the Earth's riches equally with one another and with future generations, a world that doesn't exhaust all natural resources, a world that is clean, healthy, sustainable, and fair. This is the world that Melu Defense, Friends of the Earth, Netherlands, envisions for the future." and it sounds like a utopia. I am persuaded by that. I think it's possible, but then I look at what is obtainable today, the capitalist ideology, neoliberalism. I look at a society practically built on consumerism, and I really want to understand the miracle in your mind that you pretty much foresee that it would take to achieve a world as this.
Yeah. Yeah, we summarize it really as, how do you want to give the earth, our earth, to our children?
Yeah.
It's very personal. In what
it is.
World do you want your children to live? This, what you call indeed an utopia, but this basic, really primal drive of humans to ensure a good life to their children ensures that we look at the problem and identify where we can have the biggest impact. It's not only about driving less or eating less meat or ensuring that you use renewable energy. We have to look at where can we make the biggest impact. And this example of Shell in Nigeria, this court victory, is an example of identifying where you can have real impact. Another example is that we are also taking Shell to court for their impact on climate change. The impact of Shell as one single company, they have double the amount of greenhouse gas emissions in comparison to the Netherlands globally, which is enormous.
Yeah.
So you can imagine we as citizens try our best while the biggest companies stand at the side and look at what we are doing. And we're taking them to court to force them to also adhere to the international agreements on reducing dangerous climate gases.
You know, I want people listening right now to also know some of the other things that you are equally engaged in, from justice to equality. I also found that you are also trying to dismantle patriarchy. It's a long list of things that you're persuaded by. Can you talk a little bit about your other missions?
Yeah, what we are saying is, and that makes us a bit different than many other environmental organizations.
Yeah.
We are saying that environmental problems are the result of the way our society is organized. You cannot separate them from the rest of society. So the way society is organized means that we externalize or transfer costs, environmental costs, onto everybody that is less powerful. So it transfers costs onto the poor farmers in the Niger Delta, but also onto women that have to do the most of the work, but also will suffer the most from climate change.
Yeah.
Consequences, indeed. So we believe that an environmentally safe society is a society that is ultimately democratic and where people of all genders and colors and beliefs are equal and have an equal say. And the reason, of course, is that if there's no equality, those that have the most power will continue transferring costs on the less powerful. But when the less powerful have an equal say, they will ensure that nobody pollutes to the detriment of all.
Look, your vision is compelling, and I'm persuaded by it. I'm nearly tempted to volunteer.
That would be great.
I think I might consider it by the end of today. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for this war of this war against an imbalanced world. And it would appear that you believe that it's possible for those who are at the bottom of the food chain to at least have a better chance at life, have a better face in life, have the opportunities of life. And it's not every time we come across a hero without a cape. Thank you very much again, Donald Poles. It's certainly a pleasure having you here. And Nigeria says thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We've been speaking with the director of Friends of the Earth from the Netherlands. We're off on a break.